Well, the book of the prophet Isaiah. Book of the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it in your presence. And it is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left, as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to this reading from his word. This book of Isaiah begins with the words, the vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. This is the vision of Isaiah. Isaiah is a prophet of God. Isaiah chapter 6 details his call to the prophetic ministry. We read in Isaiah chapter 6, in the verses 8 through to 10, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Here is, in these verses, a concise account of Isaiah's call to the prophetic ministry. Quite obviously, Isaiah was God's man. God called for a man, and Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And God said to Isaiah, "Go." Isaiah was God's man. He was entrusted with God's word. He took a word from the Lord with him, and he went with that word to the people of Judah. God's man, entrusted with God's word for the people of Judah, as such, he was a true prophet of God. Of the man himself, relatively little is known of him. There is not great detail of the personal life of the man. As a prophet, his ministry is not to proclaim himself, but rather to proclaim the word of his God. He is not in the business of publicity. He is not in the business of personal fame. His business is to proclaim the word of his God. That said, in the book itself, there are various chapters, 7, 8, 20, 37 through to 39, and also the parallel passage in 2 Kings 19 and 20. And these passages give us glimpses of the man at his work. However, it is the message, it is the word of God that is important in the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Apostle John in the New Testament bears witness to Isaiah's prophetic foresight. Of course, there are many citations of the prophecy in the New Testament, allusions to it in the New Testament. But in John chapter 12 and verses 37 through to 41, the Apostle John bears witness to Isaiah's prophetic foresight. Verse 37, "But though he," that is the Lord Jesus, "had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, He hath blinded their eyes, and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and spake of him." John is testifying in these verses to the absolute reliability of Isaiah's prophecy. He was a prophet in the sense of a seer. He foresaw what was to happen, and his foresight, his prophetic foresight, is confirmed here in proclaiming the prophecy of Isaiah 53, verse 1, John is proclaiming that prophecy to be fulfilled in the rejection of the Lord Jesus. Isaiah's name means Jehovah has saved, or Jehovah is salvation. And it is clear that the Bible is much more interested in the proclamation of that most important of messages than it is in the unimportant trivia of the prophet's personal life. Well, so much for Isaiah. The prophet As we read in verse 1 of his book, the prophet is given a vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. The vision of Isaiah. When we speak of our vision, we are speaking of our sight. We are speaking of our ability to look upon objects. We have in view the capability of perception. We are able to perceive. I am able, as I look at you, to see you and perceive you. The Lord, in giving to his prophet a vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem, grants to the prophet a clear perception of the truth concerning the people. He is given an insight into the state of Judah. He is allowed to see the pitiful condition into which they have fallen. God sees it, and he allows Isaiah to see it. This is the vision that he is given. And that this vision is from God, of course, indicates the absolute truthfulness of what Isaiah sees. The vision is not an imperfect one. It is perfectly clear. The prophet has an unimpaired view of the condition of Israel. He sees things precisely as they truly are. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amoz, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. That the vision is given to him as a prophet, of course, necessitates that the vision be communicated. That God just doesn't give it to him for amusement, for entertainment, or simply for information. The vision is given that it be communicated. Remember, the prophet served as a spokesman. To be God's prophet was to be God's spokesman. You remember in Exodus chapter 7 and verse 1 that we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet." The meaning is simply, with regard to Aaron, that he would function as a spokesman for Moses. And this is what the prophet does. He is a spokesman for God. He functions in that same role for the Lord. So the vision that the Lord gives to Isaiah concerning Judah and Jerusalem is to be publicly proclaimed. And of course, that is ever the way with God. It is ever the way with God that he would have his word to be publicly proclaimed. He would have his word to be proclaimed pointedly to the people. The word that is given concerning the people is proclaimed to the people. The word that God has given concerning the sinner is proclaimed to the sinner. The word that God gives concerning the backslider is proclaimed to the backslider. The word of God in its entirety is proclaimed to the people. It is God's way to have his word publicly communicated, proclaimed. The vision itself begins in verse 2. The word from the Lord begins in verse 2. And we may notice in connection with that the charge that is brought against Israel. The charge that the Lord brings against his people, Israel. Verses 2 through to 4. "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. In these verses, the Lord indicts his people. He charges his people. The seriousness of the charge is indicated by the authority of the one who is bringing the charge. It is a serious charge because of the one who is bringing the charge. Consider the opening words of verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. The one who brings the charge against Israel is the one who is able to call upon all creation to listen to what he says. He's able to invite the heavens and the earth to give ear. He's calling upon all creation to listen to what he says. The one who brings the charge against Israel is the one who is of such authority that he may summon the heavens and the earth to bear witness to what he says. Thus, when he speaks as the supremely authoritative God of heaven and of earth. And when he speaks, we had better listen. And thus for Israel, when the Lord brings a charge against them, it is a serious charge, simply because it is the Lord who is bringing the charge, simply because of the fact that it is God who is laying the matter against them. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. It is no trivial matter for us to run foul of God. It is not trivial. It is always serious. There is no clear command that is found in his revealed word that we can afford to overlook. There is no sin that we can without consequence indulge. God is not to be played with. God is not to be messed around with. When God speaks, we had better listen, for it is God that is speaking. The Lord charges Israel with shameful rebellion. He charges them with shameful rebellion. He says, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. They have rebelled against me. The Lord was a father to Israel. He brings them up as his children. He was a father to Israel. As a nation, they owed their existence to him. That must never be forgotten. Israel existed because of the Lord. He was as a father to them. As Deuteronomy 32 verse 6 indicates, speaking of the Lord, is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? The Lord made Israel. The nation was the fruit of his promise to Abraham. They existed because of God. He was a father to them. And he nourished them. I have nourished and brought up children. he nourished them. That is, he strengthened them as a nation. He promoted their growth and their greatness. When they were as a nation in their youth, when they were children, when they were weak and few in number, he brought them up. He ensured they reached their national adulthood. He took them from their beginnings as one family to their position where they were so numerous that Pharaoh was frightened of them. He brought them up, but they rebelled against him. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. They to whom he showed himself merciful, gracious, and good, they have rebelled against me. They broke the special relationship that was there. They fell away, not only from their God, but from their Father. They broke that special filial relationship. How shameful then was and is their rebellion. There seems to be an added shame to the rebellion when we place it in the context of God as a father to them and they as his children. The Lord charges Israel with unnatural ignorance. Verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. There is knowledge which animals possess, which is instinctive and natural. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. The ox has a knowledge of its owner, comes to know who he is, and will submit to the owner. The ass knows of the one who fills its stall with food. The ass knows the master of the crib. Such a knowledge even the animals have. Such a knowledge natural, instinctive. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Israel doesn't know its master. Israel doesn't know its master. Israel does not know the one who provides for him. Israel does not submit to that one. That is the charge here. They don't know God. They don't know him who is their master. They don't know him who makes provision for them. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Israel lacks even this knowledge, and doth not consider, doesn't reflect, doesn't consider their ways. This is the ignorance of Israel. Such ignorance is unnatural. Such spiritual blindness is the product of sin and rebellion. And yet, such spiritual blindness, evident here in Israel, is all around us in the present day. The Lord charges Israel with comprehensive departure from God. Verse 4. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. The Lord charges Israel with comprehensive departure from God. You will notice that the description that the Lord gives of Israel is a damning one. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. A damning description of Israel. They are a nation, but note, sadly, they are a sinful nation. A nation that goes on in the ways of sin. A nation that goes on sinning. It is the national character. It is a telling characteristic of the people. They are characterized by a giving of themselves to sin. A nation established by God. A nation sustained by God. But a nation that is continually missing the mark of God's holy law. A nation, yes, but sadly a sinful nation. A people, yes, but sadly a people laden with iniquity. A people who are loaded with iniquity. A people to whom iniquity is a heavy load. A people burdened with the guilt of that iniquity. A people who have rejected the Lord, who invites them, come on to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. A people, yes, but sadly a people laden with iniquity. Moreover, a seed of evildoers, the children of Abraham, the seed of Abraham, but sadly not of his character, a seed of evildoers. They who should give themselves to God, they who should give themselves to good, here we discover that they spend their time and their talents for the devil and their performance of that which is evil. A seed, yes, a seed, however, of evildoers. Children that are corrupters. Children, yes, but not as the Lord's children should be. They are destructive children. They are corrupting themselves. They are corrupting the relationship with God. They are destroying that relationship. They are ultimately destroying themselves. They are destructive children. When we put it together, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. It is a damning description that the Lord gives of Israel. But that is not all. The description is damning, but the apostasy the Lord assigns to them is profound. First, they have forsaken the Lord. Second, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. That is, they have spurned him. And in so doing, they have angered him. They have provoked him. Third, they are gone away backward. They have turned their backs upon God. They have turned their backs upon God and are living their lives without him. When you take the description of the people and the apostasy together, what you have is a comprehensive departure from God. A comprehensive departure from God. These words relate to Israel. They relate to Israel at this time. But is what we're looking at here, this departure from God, is that not what has happened in Western secular society? Is it not true that the departure that we can assign to Israel, we can assign to Western countries today? I think it is. Is that not what has happened in the lives of so many whom we would perhaps refer to as backsliders? Is it not the case that they have turned their back upon God and are now making their own way in the world without God. This is what happened in Israel. Let us determine it will not happen in our lives. It is so dangerous to look upon verses like this and to say that happened to them. They degenerated to that sad state, but it will not happen to us. Every Christian should realize that these things are written for our admonition. Every Christian should always take heed lest they fall. May the Lord add his blessing to his word tonight for his name's sake. Amen.